Amen. If you've got your Bibles, I know that Brother Ivan will do his best to keep up with me and put it on the screen for you. But if you've got Bibles and you want to turn to the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. I once said this, I don't know whether I was misunderstood in church when I said this, but I once said that I'd rather be in church without my trousers than without my Bible. Because if you haven't got a Bible, you can't check what the preacher's saying. Amen? I can tell you anything and you won't know. I like to preach what is written in the book, in God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, we have a great verse here. And it says this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, today, traditionally in the church, the church remembers and celebrates that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. You know, where the crowds waved the branches of the trees and laid their coats on the road before him as he rode into Jerusalem. You know, and that was good. But it was only a few days later that the same crowd that welcomed Jesus on the road was shouting, "Crucify him," and had Pilate put him to death. But as we think about that this week, as we remember what Jesus did for us, you know, those 2,000 years ago, how he went to the cross, how he was crucified, and we've read beautifully this morning already that lovely scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole of the Old Testament, you know, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. What a beautiful scripture. You know, to think that's what Jesus did for us. You know, but that's not the end of the story. You know, next Sunday, God willing, will be a glorious celebration as we remember that Jesus rose again from the grave. The resurrection. You know, and this scripture here tells us to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I like this scripture in the Amplified Translation. I just want to read that to you. And I quote this scripture often because the Amplified says this. It says, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah has risen from the dead. You know, constantly keep this in your mind. You know, that's why we regularly have the Lord's Supper. It's not so that we can share together in bread and the cup. It's not so we can have another service in the church. It's so that we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember that he died. We remember that he took our sin. We remember that he paid the price so we could be healed. And we remember that on the third day he was gloriously raised again. Hallelujah. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You know, this is a key for us. If we want to hold on to the blessings of God. If we want to walk in victory so we don't forget. You know, when pressures come, when troubles come, when we face trials. You know, when it feels like the whole weight of the world is upon us. When we're going through hard places, we remember Jesus risen from the dead. When the devil tells you this week that you're not going to make it, you might as well quit. You might as well give up. You're not going to get the answer to your prayer. You know, that was in the days gone by. And there are people that will tell you that. You know, the devil will use those to get to you so that you quit on your faith. When you hear those words, remember, Jesus is risen from the dead. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. It's tells us that the whole of our faith hinges on this one thing. The whole of our faith hinges on the resurrection. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17. He says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. Your faith is empty and void of any results. If there is no resurrection, then there is no faith. The resurrection is foundational to our faith. You know, there were Pastor Vince just mentioned it this morning, but there were a group of religious people in the scriptures. You read about them. They were very hot on the law. They were the Pharisees. Then there were another faction of religious leaders. They were known as the Sadducees. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, while they were both hot on the law and the things of God, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And somebody once said, that's why they're sad, you see. If there's no resurrection, then there can be no faith. You know, this is foundational to our faith, the resurrection. You know, just a bit later on in this chapter, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, Paul warns us of two men whose teaching began to spread. He says here in verse 17 that their teaching spread like cancer. These two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, I tend to agree, and I know some agree on this, that their teaching was a denial of the resurrection. Now, this is what Paul's talking about in this chapter. He's talking about if there's no resurrection, then we have no faith. If there's no resurrection, then, you know, what's the point of us believing God? You know, and these two men were preaching and proclaiming a message that was void of the resurrection. And he said, beware of them. You know, they were undermining the faith of the young believers. And Paul writes to Timothy to urge him to be aware of people like this, that speak as though there is no resurrection, that deny the resurrection. You know, and there's others, and I'm not going to go into it this morning, but they deny the virgin birth. You know, they say this didn't happen. They deny creation. They deny all these. These are foundational doctrines. They deny that Jesus is coming back again. It's a foundational doctrine. Now, it's not so important as to when, as we've heard pastor preach. Some believe pre, some believe mid, some believe post, some believe well after the millennium. The important thing is that he's coming back. It's foundational to our faith. Ivan, can you give me Hebrews, please? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Here is another scripture that the writer, the apostle, he puts in here. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. We're talking about considering Jesus. You know, keeping the resurrection, the risen Jesus, foremost in our thoughts and in our minds and in our spirits. Looking unto Jesus, he writes, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then it says here in verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus is the author and finisher, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, we were looking at that word perfect last Sunday evening. You know, Jesus is the one who brings our faith to its completion. Brings our faith to its goal, to its maturity. You know, it says something in verse 2 there. It says, look, look at these words here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it says, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, when you look at the cross, you look at what happened on what we call Good Friday. There was nothing beautiful about that image. The prophet in Isaiah, he puts it like this. He says, there's nothing beautiful when we look at him. There's nothing beautiful about the cross. Yet when Jesus looked upon the cross, when he was looking at the cross, it says, he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was joyful about the cross? Well, it certainly wasn't the death. It wasn't the pain. It wasn't the agony. I tell you what was joyful about it. You. You were the prize. You were the goal. You were the one that he was dying for. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Tasha, you were on his mind. Amen. You were on his mind, Cheryl. And everybody else, you were on his mind. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You were on his mind. That should get you excited. That when Jesus died, he had you on his mind. He was looking at your salvation. Hallelujah. You are here. But look at the warning of verse 3. It says, consider him. Consider him. Constantly keep in mind Jesus has risen from the dead. Why? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know, spiritual weariness and discouragement is a sure sign that we've not been considering Jesus. Because when we consider what Jesus did for us, we consider the cross, we consider that resurrection morning, we can't stay discouraged. It doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter whatever the enemy might throw at us. When we consider Jesus, we know we're on the winning side. Amen. Jesus already conquered death. That's the last enemy. And Jesus, by rising from the dead, conquered it. Amen. When Jesus arose, you arose. Did you know that? When Jesus died, you died. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 verse 12. Here Paul's writing, and he's talking about baptism. You know, that's what baptism is. It's an outward expression of what happened in the Spirit. We're buried with him in baptism. You know, when we came to Jesus, or when we responded to his calling, we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Do you know, we put ourselves, we crucified ourselves. The old man was put to death. We were buried with him in baptism. And then when we come up out of the waters, that signifies that we've been raised to newness of life. So when I say when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus arose from the grave, you arose. When Jesus came up out of hell and defeated the devil, you came up and defeated him. Amen. His victory is your victory. Amen. Why? Because you are in him. Amen. It's not your victory because of what you've done. because of your status in the community, your standing. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Your victory, or his victory is your victory because of him. Because of what he did. One of the modern translators, J.B. Phillips, and again, I like this translation. It was written for school children, or for a youth group. Canon Phillips wrote it as for his young people. And he says this, he says, you shared in that, just as in baptism you shared in his death. And in him you shared the rising again to life. And all this because you have faith in the tremendous power of God. All this because you have faith in the tremendous power of God. You know, there's a scripture. When we think about what Jesus did at Calvary, when we think about what happened at the cross, how Jesus, as another scripture puts it, he made a public show of them, didn't he? Well, it's actually here. Verse 13. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. You know, the devil's got a long list against you. Did you know what the blood of Jesus on it's wiped it out? Amen. Hallelujah. Wiped it out. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hey, I like this verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. Triumphing. Hallelujah. Triumphing over them in it. You know, I think Satan hates that image. You know, when we think about what happened when Jesus rose again from the dead, when we constantly keep in mind the resurrection, Satan hates that image. Why? Because he sees himself stripped. When you think, that's the one image, more than any other image, that Satan really hates. I'm sure one that he would like to forget. The image of Jesus rising from the dead. He was there when Jesus went down into the depths. You know that? He was defeated in his own kingdom. You know, no team likes to lose at home. You know, if you're in a football match, you go to a football match, home team, there's more incentive there to win. You don't like losing at home. You know, and Satan lost at home. He lost the battle in his own kingdom, in his own domain. You know, Jesus went into hell and he led captivity captive, Ephesians tells us. He led captivity. He led the prisoners out. And Satan remembers that. There's lots of things he doesn't know, but he remembers that. He's stripped forever of his power and authority. And his defeat was openly displayed to the whole of the universe. You know, that's the image we need to remember. That's the image we need to consider. You know, consider that image until it becomes etched in your spirit. So that you're never persuaded either way. When the enemy comes at you with a temptation, he comes at you with some doubt or some unbelief. You know, that image should rise up on the inside of you and say, you were defeated. Jesus is raised from the dead. Beautiful, beautiful image that we need to consider and remember. Let's turn to our last scripture this morning. Just want to quickly bring this in to your thinking, your comprehension here. Romans chapter 8, another beautiful scripture. Romans 8 verse 11. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you. And that same spirit will give life to your mortal body. You know, that resurrection morning, when Jesus rose again, and when he defeated the enemy in his own camp, he came to life so that you could have life. You could walk in new life. You know, this is the life that Jesus was talking about to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 10, where he says, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. That's resurrection life. You know, the resurrection is the greatest story that's ever been told about the fullness of life. If Jesus could come out of the grave, if Jesus could rise from the dead, then surely he can take care of any problem and any difficulty we face. There's nothing too difficult for him. You know, I read yesterday, and I just want to, those who saw it on Facebook, I posted to Facebook last night, I read this yesterday, a quotation from Chris Tomlin, if death couldn't hold him down, if the grave wasn't the end for him, there's nothing too difficult for Jesus in your life either. If the grave couldn't hold him, nothing is too difficult for him. The power of the resurrection. You know, Paul desired that. That was his. He writes in Philippians, he says, this is my determined purpose. If you want to look it up or write it down, it's Philippians 3:10. Look at this. My determined purpose is this, that I might know him and the power of the resurrection. Why? Because Paul knew. That's why he could write these words, constantly keep in mind, Jesus has risen from the dead, that I might know him. You know, the victory is ours today, the victory is yours because of the resurrection. Because of what Jesus did. That's why it's important we constantly keep it in mind. You know, Jesus wasn't the first to rise from the dead. Do you know that? Lazarus came back to life. Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain. There was recorded instances in the scriptures in the Old Testament where people came back to life because of the prophets. There was one which I just read about the other day, which is really excites me. You know, the prophet had been dead some time, Prophet Elisha, and he was buried in the ground. You know, and a band of an army went through, and one of their young men died. You know, they didn't have time to give him a full burial, so they just, you know, a little hole in the ground and threw him in. You know, and as this dead man touched the bones of the prophet, he came back to life. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? So Jesus wasn't the first to rise from the dead, back to life. But I tell you what, he was the first to be reborn.
Amen.
He's the first one to be born again. That's another way to put it. He's the firstborn among many brethren, the scripture says. So if you're born again, you've already experienced resurrection power. If you're already one of the brethren, you've already had that experience of coming back to life. You've been recreated, reborn. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. You're not the old person patched up, thank God. You know, we try and mend many things. I've got to the stage now where I just can't be bothered to mend anything. Well, in some cases it's cheaper just to buy new. But you're not an old person patched up. You know, I've heard that said many times. You know, we're just sinners that have been made good. No, 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 no. You're not a sinner. You are not a sinner. You are a saint. Now, you may be a saint that sins, but you are not a sinner.
Amen.
Your status has been changed. You are a child of God.
Amen.
Born again of the Spirit. Now, if you're not yet born again, you can experience resurrection power today. If you're not yet, you've not yet believed on Jesus, your own personal Savior. You know, this week is the greatest week in the church's calendar. I like this week, well, this season, better than any other. Because this talks about new life. Jesus came to give you new life. So you can receive Him today. Receive Him this week. Don't put it off. Don't put it off and say, well, I want to live a little first. Listen, you haven't started to live until you've met Jesus.
Amen.
The resurrection, it's all about new life. Receive Him today. Amen.
Let's give a hand to the Lord. Amen.